Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, June 16, 2017. A member of the National Dialogue Steering Committee says the process must be inclusive.
There's been a lot of discussions in the steering committee about Riek Machar, and most of the speakers have said Riek should come or Riek should be contacted to participate in this process.
And South Sudanese soldiers are arrested at the Ugandan border by the Ugandan authorities.
They came crawling in the water trench, and eventually as they were reaching at our checkpoint, our officers intercepted them, and there was exchange of fire. There were five, of which four were arrested.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Rebel leader Riek Machar has declined an invitation from Ugandan President Yoweri Kaguta Museveni to attend a peace-building meeting scheduled for today at Entebbe. South Sudan in Focus obtained a copy of Machar's reply in which he said he could not attend the meeting on such short notice because, quote, "I'm still under house confinement and detention in South Africa," end quote. Machar said unless Museveni intervenes with South African President Jacob Zuma and other IGAD leaders, he will not be traveling to Entebbe for the meeting. A technical advisor to President Museveni on South Sudan Peace Initiative, Betty Bigome, invited Machar to the meeting at the request of President Salva Kiir. In her letter to Machar, Bigome said President Kiir asked the Ugandan leader to mediate between the different factions of the SPLM. In his response letter, which was obtained by this program, Machar said, "What should be of paramount concern right now is to end the fighting, not reunification of the ruling party." It is not immediately clear if the meeting took place in Entebbe as scheduled. 2 weeks ago, former detainees, the SPLM IO Taban faction, and the acting secretary general for the ruling SPLM in government met in Entebbe to discuss the reunification of the SPLM party. The National Dialogue Steering Committee is calling on the government to allow former first vice president Riek Machar to participate in the much talked about national dialogue. President Salva Kiir said recently that all opposition groups are welcome to take part except Mr. Machar because he has refused to renounce violence. The committee says in order to create conducive atmosphere for the dialogue, the government should also release all political detainees. Waki Simon Wudu has more for VOA from Juba.
At a news conference in Juba yesterday, leaders of the National Dialogues Steering Committee said opposition leaders, including former First Vice President Riek Machar, must be included in the dialogue so that peace and stability can be restored across the country. Committee spokesperson Alfred Taban says including Machar will help end the ongoing fighting.
There's been a lot of discussions in the steering committee about Riek Machar, and most of the speakers have said Riek should come or Riek should be contacted to participate in this process. So what the president has said is not that important to us. What is important to us is what the steering committee themselves say. And they've all said that Riek must be included in this process.
President Kiir launched the national dialogue last month with the objective of reconciling South Sudanese communities torn apart by the conflict. Mr. Kiir has said he hopes the dialogue will end the conflict and enable South Sudanese to chart a new way forward for the country. Angelo Beda, co-chair of the National Dialogue Steering Committee, says the exercise will be inclusive.
Those who carry arms, we want them to come and talk. And that's why the national dialogue, the principle of inclusivity is very important. That means the national dialogue is open to all, including those who have got arms.
Last year, Amnesty International released the names of 35 people, including activists and journalists, who were arrested and detained for allegedly supporting Machar's rebellion. Taban called on the Kiir administration to release all political detainees across the country.
We are serious that steps should be taken to make the atmosphere conducive for the holding of dialogue. And one of those is the release of all political detainees.
When announcing the dialogue's launch, Mr. Kiir said South Sudan's chief prosecutor general would process the release of all detainees. Since President Kiir called for the release of political prisoners, about a handful of people have been released, including journalist George Livio, who was freed in May after being arrested in August 2014. Beda says the steering committee formed 15 subcommittees, including one for outreach to South Sudanese refugees and to those in the diaspora. He says the committees will begin meeting next month. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
A new opinion poll conducted by a civil society task force on implementing the peace agreement indicates that South Sudanese do not think the national dialogue will be successful. Respondents say restriction on freedom of expression, the non-participation of opposition groups, including Riek Machar's faction, and continued hostilities between the warring parties are some of the reasons they do not believe the dialogue will change anything. Tito Justin has this report for VOA from Juba.
The task force says it conducted 10 different meetings on the national dialogue across South Sudan over 4 months. 671 South Sudanese responded, including women, youth, and civil society activists. While most South Sudanese surveyed said they accepted the dialogue as a way to peacefully resolve South Sudan's conflict, they doubt the exercise will be successful and question the impartiality of its steering committee. Rajab Mohandis, a task force member and activist who works for the South Sudan Network for Democracy and Elections, says the paramount demand of the people of South Sudan is peace.
Peace that silences the guns, guarantees no return to violence, and creates a conducive environment for all citizens to live in safety, liberty, and dignity. The task force therefore calls on the National Dialogue Steering Committee and Secretariat to conduct a genuine national dialogue that meets these aspirations of South Sudanese citizens, especially the suffering masses.
Mohandis says the Dialogue Steering Committee should take steps necessary to build public confidence, such as ensuring freedom from political interference and the participation of all stakeholders.
The steering committee should avoid public utterances and conduct that would otherwise jeopardize their independence, create public mistrust, and undermine their credibility and neutrality in leading a balanced and credible national dialogue process. All government and opposition officials should refrain from inflammatory statements and provocative actions that contradict the spirit of a genuine national dialogue.
Jamie David Kolok, executive director of the Foundation for Democracy and Accountable Governance, says the committee should make an effort to include every South Sudanese, including the opposition.
We are grateful that we have already started hearing voices in our engagement, for example, with the co-chairs. Honorable Angela Beda did indicate clearly that the steering committee will reach out to some of this opposition, including Dr. Riek Machar. And I think we are going to hold them accountable to these words.
Kolok says the 2015 peace agreement should not be undermined but be used as basis to achieve lasting peace.
So there is no way we can support a process that could undermine such a formidable document that is signed by a number of parties in the interest of bringing peace to South Sudan.
Abraham Awolich, the steering committee's deputy coordinator, says the committee takes its job seriously.
The leadership of the steering committee itself is now taking the responsibility to console the political leaders outside the country. That include Dr. Riek Machar, Dr. Lama Akol, Mr. Pagana Amom and his group, Rebecca Nyandeng, the whole of the former detainees, General Thomas Shirilo, and others who are not known. That is the schedule of who is going where will be made public probably on Monday or Tuesday. But the decision is already taken.
Civil society activists say The steering committee should identify locations outside the country for preliminary consultations so that opposition groups who feel unsafe traveling to South Sudan can participate in the exercise. They say such meetings should focus on the opposition's participation, ceasefire, and guarantees of safety for opposition politicians who return to participate in the national dialogue process. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Juba.
Ugandan police in Koboko district say they are detaining four armed soldiers who were caught sneaking across the border at Oraba on Wednesday night. The Koboko district police commander says Ugandan security officials are investigating South Sudanese soldiers who tried to enter Uganda at night and why they shot at Ugandan authorities. Gift Friday has the story for VOA from Gulu in northern Uganda.
Brian Ampire, the Koboko district police commander, says five suspected SPLA soldiers exchanged gunfire with Ugandan police before being arrested.
They came crawling in the water trench and eventually as they were reaching at our checkpoint, our officers intercepted them and there was exchange of fire. There were five, of which four were arrested and the fifth one took off with a gun. But among the four who were arrested, we recovered the one SMG rifle and the four magazines.
Police Commander Peter says no casualties were reported on either side during the shootout. He says the South Sudanese soldiers are being detained at Koboko Police Station pending an investigation. Ugandan officials have not disclosed the identities of the four suspected SPLA soldiers. Repeated calls to SPLA Deputy Spokesman Colonel Santo Dominic for comment on this story went unanswered. Ampira is calling on Koboko District residents to remain vigilant and inform the security personnel whenever they see any armed people trying to enter the area. He says in the past month alone, Ugandan police have confiscated four guns from South Sudanese.
Let us recover these guns if they are there to make sure that our district or our area remains secure. Actually, all of them, we have recovered them from Kuruba sub-count. Because Ugandan guns are marked, and the guns so far which we have recovered, all of them not marked, an indication that they are from South Sudan.
Ampire says South Sudanese will not be allowed to cross into Uganda illegally and warns Ugandans against traveling to South Sudan.
Our neighbors are not yet stable, and the public or people should avoid going to South Sudan. I repeat, people should avoid going to South Sudan because it is not yet stable. Whoever is having a business from there, whoever is having any connection from there, let him wait until that country stabilizes.
Ampire says Ugandan police remain on high alert along all the border crossing points with South Sudan border to ensure that South Sudanese do not smuggle guns into Uganda. In November last year, Ugandan media reported that many South Sudanese were smuggling guns into Uganda and selling them for as little as $50. For VOA News, I'm Gift Friday in Gulu, northern Uganda.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Amnesty International calls for release of political prisoners in Sudan. We'll bring that story right after this break.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
have you ever felt misunderstood by other people?
According to my work, you come in the morning, you think you're doing something good, then in the return, you find that the customers or the people around you see that you're late, you're weird, something like that. I'm misunderstood in that way.
I felt misunderstood by so many people because I might be going at the right direction, they might be going at the left direction. And sometimes perception. What I meant might not be what they really understand.
I'd mean well, but the way I'd express myself, people would take it the other way or they'd be offended. But generally, you should share your own opinion and not be scared because somebody around you won't share the same opinion like you do.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Authorities in Yei River State have freed 18 people detained for allegedly coordinating rebel activities in the area. Yei River State officials say they freed the detainees to pave the way for implementing a peace agreement that was reached 3 weeks ago with a breakaway faction of the SPLMIO. Daniel Friday Martin has the story for VOA from Yei.
The 18 political detainees were freed yesterday during a public event held at Yei Freedom Square. Many of the detainees, including one woman, looked malnourished and weak. Brigadier General Chol Deng Chol, the SPLA Division 2 commander, handed over the former detainees to their relatives. Speaking in Arabic, Chol says they were freed in accordance with a peace agreement reached recently in Kampala, Uganda, between Yei River State officials and representatives of the breakaway SPLA-IO faction.
Any person who has been in a prison cell has been set free, unless one has killed somebody. The signed peace is yours. Mr. Governor, these are the 18 people being detained for murder. The prison was full of detainees, but it is now empty.
Chol warns the army will still arrest and detain any person who he says is against peace in South Sudan. Freed detainee Robert Sabah was arrested in July nearly a year ago. Sabah says some of the detainees were killed while others are still being detained under unbearable conditions.
There are some left in the prison. There are five, and I give thanks to the Brigadier Sol and the Brigadier of IO, Sabatian Yuma, and Bishop Elias Saban for their struggle to bring peace to South Sudan, particularly here.
Nensa Nyoka, the only female freed yesterday, says she was arrested in early May for allegedly possessing bullets. Speaking in Arabic, Nyoka, a widow with four children, says she was tortured by her handlers while in detention.
Even if a detainee has done nothing, they will pour some water into the cell, lock the door, and accuse the detainee of urinating in the cell. The detainee is picked from the cell, beaten up, thrown back to the cell, and locked up. If a relative brings food for the detainee, the guards do not allow the detainee to eat it.
42-year-old Ayile Elia says he was arrested in March as he walked from Lasso Payam to Yei Town Market. Speaking Arabic, Elia, a farmer, says he does not know how to start over now that he finally is a free man again.
We are civilians, and I have nothing to do with the army or the SPLA-IO. Now that we are out of the prison, I am calling on the government to help us because all our properties were stolen and we have nothing to sleep on, including food.
Brigadier General Yuma Sebastian, head of the SPLA-IO Advanced Military Team in Yei, welcomes the release of the detainees. Yuma says his group has stopped fighting the government and called on others to focus on implementing the recent peace deal.
I just want to appeal to my brothers who are still saying they don't want peace, they want to fight. We are for peace. We are no longer for war.
Governor David Lokonga Moses says Yei River State is implementing a directive from the president to release all political detainees to create a conducive environment for the national dialogue. Lokonga says he ordered General Chol to free all political detainees being held across the state.
The release is actually with conformity of the declaration of the President Salva Kiir, releasing all the political detainees and all those who are arrested in a connection to supporting the rebellion in the country. Chol Deng Chol, you try to ask Kajukedi, ask Morocco, ask Bulanya, anybody who is in prison might reset free so that they can enjoy the peace of Yei River State.
For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Yei.
Amnesty International is calling for the release of Dr. Mudawi Ibrahim Adam and his colleague Hafiz Idris Eldoma, who were arrested by Sudanese authorities in December and charged with undermining the constitutional system and waging war against the state. Both charges carry either death penalty or life imprisonment. Michel Kagera is the Amnesty International's Deputy Regional Director for East Africa. She tells Ayen Bior Sudanese authorities were wrong to arrest the man, adding that Modawi has always been an observer and defender of human rights.
He's been charged including with undermining the constitutional system and waging war against the state and other charges. But the worst is really undermining the constitutional system and waging war against the state. Both of these carry death penalty or life imprisonment.
Tell me a little bit about Dr. Modawi Ibrahim and his colleague, Mr. Hafiz Eldoma.
Right. Well, Dr. Modawi is an award-winning human rights defender. He's an engineering professor at the University of Khartoum. He founded a Sudanese NGO called the Sudan Social Development Organization, and he has been working to promote and the respect for human rights for a long time, and especially also documenting and talking about human rights violations in Darfur. This is not the first time that he has been targeted by the state. He's been arrested previously and released, but now this latest time he was arrested in December. He was arrested together with his driver, his accountant, and his friend, so Hafiz. The driver and accountant were later released, but he and his friend, Hafiz, who's an internally displaced person from Darfur, have now both been charged. This is just an ongoing practice that we've been documenting from the state against people they perceive as criticizing their policy and practice, and particularly against human rights defenders.
What is Dr. Modawi saying about these charges? Is he maintaining his innocence? What has he been saying to the media?
I don't think he has spoken to the media. His daughter has spoken to the media. We are not in a position to say what exactly he's been saying, but certainly our position is that these charges are trumped up. It's a miscarriage of justice. He is being targeted for his role as a human rights defender, working to expose human rights violations across Sudan and in Darfur.
Were the men given access to legal counsel?
He did have some access, but we have had concerns about his health while in detention. And certainly when he was arrested in December, he was held without being charged for quite a long, for a couple of months. The trial that's going on right now is clearly targeting him for his human rights work. But this is not an isolated case. We have been tracking a pattern of targeting against human rights defenders, of which the case before Dr. Mudawi's arrest was with regards to another human rights organization called Tracts, who were arrested and charged and eventually got released later last year.
That was Michel Kagari, Amnesty International's Deputy Regional Director for East Africa. She was speaking to Ayen Bior from Nairobi earlier today. On this day of the African child, school children in South Sudan say conflict and economic hardships are preventing them from attending school and having a normal childhood. Girls say gender-based discrimination forces many of them to drop out of school. Nabil Biajo files this report from Juba.
Hundreds of kids from six different Juba primary schools today march from Buluk Playground to Nyakwen Cultural Center with the accompaniment of a child band. They are celebrating the Day of the African Child. 12-year-old Daniel Sabri is a primary 7 pupil at JCC Model Primary School in Juba. Daniel says school kids like himself are going hungry every day.
I don't have sometimes money for breakfast, sometimes my father, even sometimes I doesn't eat at home. I just come to school hungry and I go back home.
17-year-old Jogo Emma, a student at CMS Primary School, says gender-based discrimination in South Sudan is rampant and forces many girls to drop out of school or to get married as children.
Some parents are not good. Sometimes they will give a lot of work to
to the girls. And like we girls, we will think that, maybe it is like this, better I get married instead of working. And sometimes also the problem from the parents, mother and father, they are doing segregation. They'll say that girls don't have future hope. Better let me take the boy to the school and then we leave the girls.
Cecilia Pony is a mother who agrees that many parents discriminate against their girls. She says parents must change their attitude about the importance of girls in society.
I'm appealing to the parents that education must be a priority to both girls and boys. Because if we want to build a strong society or a community or a nation, all our boys and our girls need to go to school.
The Day of the African Child is celebrated by African Union countries on June 16th to honor the 1976 Soweto Uprising. That's when hundreds of children were killed on the streets because they protested segregation in school under the apartheid regime. Plan International, Save the Children, and Community Health and Development Organization organized the event in collaboration with the Ministry of Gender, Child and Social Welfare. Fortson Kafweko of Plan International represented non-governmental organizations at today's celebrations.
As leaders, parents and guardians here today, we need to consciously reassert our commitment in our various capacities to ensure that the children are protected and nurtured to grow into productive citizens.
Deidre Keo is the country director at Save the Children in South Sudan. She agrees child rights must be protected vigorously by government officials.
They have the right to play and to develop and grow up without any hindrance whatsoever, and then they can reach their full potential. So there are many issues that children face around the world that stop them from reaching their full potential. Some of that is related to poverty, where children are forced out of school and they have to go to work when they're very young.
Keo says children's rights are also trampled by child marriage and the ongoing fighting in South Sudan. Esther Ikere, Undersecretary at the Ministry of Gender, Child and Social Welfare, says the ministry is working on a new policy to protect children and guarantee their right to education, and says it begins at home with parents.
The national policy for children without appropriate care is actually to hold parents accountable. If you are not taking care of your child, what is the reason? What is your responsibility? If you know how to bring a child to the world, you need to know how to take care of this child.
Ikere says parents must make productive citizens out of their children and not produce criminals. She says her ministry is working with the Minister of Labor and other authorities to protect the children of South Sudan. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Juba.
That report by Nabil from Juba brings us to the end of our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the song Mawazo by Diamond. Ningekuwa na uwezo ningekunywa takombe nikupoza mawazo, maana mchana kutota usiku silale, makazi yangu kikwazo. Ningekuwa na uwezo ningekunywa takombe nikupoza mawazo, maana mchana kutota usiku silale, makazi yangu kikwazo. Sikujua mapenzi bara tena ni maradhi ya moyo kupendaga, tena mapenzi kara yanajenga chuki na choyo kwenye kaba. Mtu wangu na thamani ina maana kweli ya kujua. Chaburutani, ya mapenzi yangu wakasimua. Mtu wangu na thamani, ina maana kweli ya kuvijua. Uguni chaburutani, tani, akamua kutimua. Ningekuwa na uwezo, ningekunywa takombe, nikupunguze mawazo. Maana mchana kutwa ta usiku silale, mapenzi yangu kikwazo. Ningekuwa na uwezo, ningekunywa takombe, nikupunguze mawazo. Maana mchana kutwa ta usiku silale, mapenzi yangu kikwazo. Zilangu ameleta tafarani naumia aliye na moyo wangu ona jini kisirani kaingia kwenye utumwa penzi langu ameleta tafarani mwanzenu aliye na moyo wangu. We have been listening to Diamond with the song Mawazo. I'm John Tanza in Washington. We hope you have a safe and happy weekend. Join us again on Monday for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. I'm not going to be able to do that.